We begin the current daf Masechta Yuma, daf Nun Vav. We begin on the bottom of Nun Hayamid Beis, four lines up on the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Gemara introduced a brisa that was related to the topic of our Mishnah. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who's mentioned our Mishnah. The Gemara wanted to bring that as a proof to an explanation of Rabbi Yosef regarding his opinion mentioned in the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda said that although there were many different boxes, Sheifarits in the Beis HaMikdash, that each one said different things in them, Tekel Chadatin, Tekel Atikin, there were different boxes for different purposes, six that were for Nedava purposes. However, there was no separate box for the Kinei Chayva, for those who had to bring obligatory Kinim, which are a pair of bird offerings. One bird is brought as a Chatas, one bird is brought as an Ayla. There was no separate box for them, and that's for a Zav, a Zava, a Yeledes, someone that became Tamei going to the Beis HaMikdash. They have to bring a Kinei Chayva. There wasn't a separate box, and he says why? Because of the mixture. However, it's not clear what he means by that. So Rabbi Yosef attempted to prove what it means from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion mentioned in our Mishnah. And he said, because the boxes of Kinei Chayva, if that was obligatory Kinim, and there's another box of Gezeila Oila, like the other opinion who argue in Rabbi Yehuda, that they hold that the Kinim was the box of the obligatory ones, and the box of Gezeila Oila was the Nedava ones, if those boxes get confused and he buys from one box for what's necessary for the other one, you're going to be confusing a chayva, that of a chatas, with a nedava of an ayla, and a nedava and an ayla is made like a chatas, or a chatas made like an ayla will be possible. And therefore, we didn't want to make another type of box because they get mic confused, so we're only going to have a box for the ayla's one, and therefore, even if it gets lost, we know that it's going to be brought as an ayla anyway. And he proved that from our Mishnah, because one would think to say, you're going to confuse the boxes, write on it. Write on one that it's a chayva, that we know that this is the one that one is chadas, one ayla, and write on the other box that this is the nedava one, and we know that's the one from aylas. What does that mean we're going to get confused? So that Rabbi Yosef proved from our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda held that when there's the, he comes out of the, Kohen Gadol comes out of Kodesh HaKadoshim, doing the avodah of the bloods, whether it's the power of the sar, there's only one stand where he can put down the blood, because he's doing two different bloods, of the blood of the power of his own for the Kohanim, and the one of the Sar for the Jewish people. So what he does is that he first has to take off the one that was sitting there up until now, because he keeps on changing from Parat to Sar, Parat to Sar, and then after he takes it off, then he can put back the one that he had just done, and then move on to the next one. And the question is, why? Why is there no two? Why only one? Why can't they make two so you can put down both bloods? The answer is because he might confuse the two of them, which one's the Dhamma Par and which one's the Dhamma Sar. But then the question is, what do you mean? Write on one stand that this is the one for the Par, and write on this stand that's the one for the Sar. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef proves that Kasiva writing doesn't help, and that we could still mix them up and confuse them. And that's why, again, Rabbi Yehuda holds in the similar halacha regarding the boxes of monies that are put for specific causes, you couldn't have a separate box of Kinei Chayva, because even if you would write on it, on the outside Chayva, you still might confuse the two of them. That was what Rabbi Yosef attempted to say. However, the Gemara refuted that from the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim that said clearly, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda holds that there were different boxes, and because they were written on them, Tikkun Chadatin, Tikkun Atikin, these were for the Eitzim, these were for the Levina, and that's how we knew which one each one is brought for. And therefore, the Gemara said clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kasiva would work. And the Gemara on this stuff will ask, if so, what's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? Why don't you make two different stands and write in it that this one's for the Par and this one's for the Sar? However, that refuted what Rabbi Yosef tried saying, why there's no box for Chayva, and that's going to be the Tarubis, you might mix up the boxes. So the Gemara first attempted to say that it means because we should be concerned that maybe one of the people that brought the Kinei Chayva is going to die, and then it's going to be Chatash Shemesa Bahalel. And that the Gemara says, we're not concerned about those type of things. And then the Gemara concluded, which is what our Gemara is going to continue with, that no, if we hear it, because we're concerned about a situation that we'll hear that we know for sure one of the people that had put in their money, and maybe there's 100 people that brought that day, they're obligatory. They have a Zav, you have a Zava, you have a Yeled, they have all these people bringing these Kinei Chayva, and before they're all brought, we hear one of them died. That means whatever's money is inside over here are all mixed together with the Schatas, Shemesu Ba'alel, which that money has to go to Yam HaMelech. And since they're all one big Taruvis, the mixture becomes prohibited because you don't know which one it is. I think the Gemara asked, wait a second, why don't you just take out four zuz from the box, which is the value of what one of those two birds from the person that died, which is one chatas, one ayla. It's only by a chatas that shemesa bahala, that the owner dies, that you have to throw it in the Amalek. Take out four zuz worth and throw it in the Amalek. That the Gemara answered, that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a breira. That in this context, you can't say that retroactively we're going to say that, oh, the money that we threw out was that person's four zuz, And therefore, that chattis is not mixed in anymore. We don't say that. And since we don't know which is his monies, they're all mixed together and they're all awesome. Now, that's where our Gemara begins and says, Manolam, where do we know that Yehuda does not hold to the concept of Breira? And hence, in the case that we're discussing over here, you're not going to be able to just pick out four zuz and throw it away, and to say that retroactively is the one that person who died had given. Another Gemara says, if you're going to say that's from the following Braisa, the Braisa says as follows. If someone purchases wine from a kuti, and as Rashi explained, this is before they made a gzera that yain kuti is aser, so the wine was permitted. However, there's a concern, as it is by any Amma Aretz, that what you're purchasing from him is demai, that you have to go ahead and take off trumas or maisis, you have to take off the proper halachas of tithes. Now, if this is Erev Shabbos and Chashecha, which others are not kairis this, as it's not mentioned anywhere else throughout Shas that it's brought. However, if this is right before Shabbos, as it's getting dark, and as Rashi explains, you don't have any vessels to quickly take off and put truma here, maisa here. You have to separate. Truma goes to the Kohen, maisa goes to Levi, maisa sheni is eaten by the person in Yerushalayim. So what does he do? He wants to be able to use this on Shabbos, but he has nowhere to put the trumas and maisas, and he has this big barrel of wine. So that, the Braisa tells us, Oymid v'Oymer, he stands and he says as follows, Shnei lugin shani osid lahafrish, the two lugin out of the 100 lug of volume of that there isn't the wine over here that I'm going to ultimately take off, because truma, the general taking off of truma is 1/50th. So therefore, if there's 100, you're going to take off 2 out of the 100. So the two lug that I'm going to ultimately take off truma from this wine, harehin truma, their truma inside over here, I mean, I'm designating it, again, I don't know where it is, but somewhere in here there's going to be trumas taken off, because one cannot consume it if it's still tevel, if you didn't take off any truma. So truma is there, but it's in there somewhere. Now we continue on top of Nundvova Maralf. Asara Maiserishin, a tenth of it, 10 lugin out of the 100 are Maiserishin, which the first tenth, there's a tenth one has to take off to give to the Levi. So that's also in here somewhere swimming around, but it's taken off. And Tisha Maiserishin, then 9 out of the 100 is the second tithe, which is because once you took off 10 for the Levi, so now you're left with 90. Now a tenth of that, what's left over, is 9 out of the 90. So that's Maaser Sheni, which the person himself goes ahead and has to consume in Yerushalayim, or he deconsecrates that and takes that money and purchases food items in Yerushalayim. Umeichel, and then the Maaser Sheni, what he does is he deconsecrates the Maaser Sheni that's somewhere mixed in over here on the money that he has in his pocket, as Rashi explains, because whatever he could rectify, he should rectify. In other words, Maaser Rishon doesn't go to him. The Truma doesn't either go to him. So he can't deconsecrate onto anything else, but the Maaser Sheni, which you could be Meichel, so he says that, yes, that 9 lug of Maaser Sheni wine that's in over here, it's being deconsecrated, which means say there's a transaction of its Kedusha onto the money in my pocket. So there's no more Maaser Sheni wine in over here. It's on those coins that are in my pocket. B'shei Simiyad, and then he drinks right away from that mixture, because what you have over here, you have Chulin wine mixing in with Truma wine and with Maaser Rishon wine. Now, what you ultimately do is when you, at a later point in time, when you have a vessel, then you take off that 2 lugin of Truma and you put it aside. You take off those 10 lugin of Maaser Rishon wine, you put it aside. And ultimately, what we're doing is we're relying on the concept of Breira, of retroactively saying, these 10 lugin that I'm taking off, that's the Maaser wine that I had said it was taken off then. And this is the truma that these two lugin that I'm putting aside over here. And ultimately, it's retroactively revealed that what I did drink before I actually had taken off to put into these vessels was the chula wine. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, that one is relying on the concept of Breira to retroactively say that although I was drinking old Shabbos from this, but since I left the liver on the bottom and I took off the 10 and the 2, that was the Maaser and that was the truma, although there's no way to prove it. But that's what the concept of Breira says, that retroactively it's defining it as that was the Truma and that was the Maaser. Now we continue on Talmud Beis, however, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon Oisun, they say that it's forbidden to do what Rabbi Meir proposed. So the Gemara says, Almein Breira. You see, Rabbi Huda says forbidden to do that. Now why? Rabbi Meir says clearly, you can do it because a Breira retroactively comes out that you drank the Chulin wine and what was now taken off those 10 Lugan and those 2 Lugan was the Maaser and the Truma. So what's wrong? Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do not say Breira, and that's supporting what we had assumed on the Gemara before, that you can't just take out 4 Zuz, The reason why one cannot make a box of kine chayva is because if someone for sure dies and now his money is mixed in over here, you can't just take four zuz and throw it into the Yam HaMelech and say that retroactively it's revealed that that was from that person that had given it and therefore everything else is kosher. Because Rabbi Yehuda does not say brera. And that the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Because mimai. Who said? Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden and you cannot rely on the concept of Breira that Remeir is relying in is because as the Braisa there clearly says why they argue on him. Not because they don't hold the Breira, rather because Amrulay Remeir, they said to Remeir, do you not agree? Maybe the flask of wine is going to burst. Now, it's going to come out retroactively that all along he was drinking Tavel because it only becomes Truma Meiser when it's finally taken off. So although when it's finally taken off, Rabbi Yehuda would agree maybe that it's Breira. However, they told him, but if it never ends up being taken off, how so? Because let's say you're drinking all Shabbos, and the flask bursts, and everything goes to waste. So you never took it off ultimately. And if you never took it off ultimately, that means essentially retroactively it's being revealed that you never had Truma taken off from it or Meiser. It would only be retroactively when it's actually taken off. And therefore it comes out it was never tithe. And therefore it was Tevel, and comes that the person drank Tevel retroactively, and therefore we should be concerned for such a thing. And therefore you can't rely on what you're proposing to do. V'amal Hamir may respond to them, no, l'shibaka, when it bursts. In other words, when it bursts, then we'll be worried about what we should do. What he meant to say was that we're not concerned for such a phenomenon that's going to burst, because you can give it over to a shomer, to someone to safeguard and make sure nothing happens to it. And therefore he held that it is a proposition to do, to drink from it, and then later on what we had said, that inside this truma, inside this maisa, and we'll take it off, retroactively it will be revealed that he was drinking chulin, and that he had taken off trumas and maisa already. So again, either way, the Gemara says that this is not a good raya to prove that Yehuda holds of ein brera, because that's not the truth, that's not the case. They're not arguing on the concept of Breira, they're just saying that even if we rely on Breira, but there might come a situation that it will not. Breira will never go into effect, because if it bursts and everything pops out, you're never going to be taking off Trumas and Maisis, and therefore there's no Raya that they don't hold of Breira. So the Gemara says, Ella rather, the Raya is that Yehuda holds Ein Breira, that not to rely retroactively to define the quality of this item, mid the Tani Ayah. It's from the following braisa that Ayah taught us. The Tani Ayah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda had taught us, Ein Odem Masna Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. A person cannot make a condition regarding two different, mutually exclusive things at the same time. Now what that means is as follows. A person lives in a certain area. Now he made two different Eruvi Tchumen, one to the east, one to the west. And the halacha is a person not allowed to go more than 2,000 amas from the edge of his house, or if he's part of a city, from the edge of the city limits. Now, but you could make an Erev Tchumen which says that your residence halachically for the purposes of how far one can travel is, if the Erev Tchumen is within 2,000 amas from where you live, that you can go another 2,000 amas. Now this person, he wanted to make one to the east of his house, or his city, and one to the west of it. And he said as follows, he says, look, if there's two sages that are coming, one to the east and one to the west. Now, I don't know which one I want to go to, but whichever one I want to go to, I want to decide tomorrow which one I'm going to want to go to. Now, on that the halacha is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you can't do that. And the reason is, because the actual acquisition of the Erev is chal, when is it, when does the halachic concept of Erev kick in? It's by Bein HaShemashah, it's by twilight on Friday night. Now, when this guy chooses tomorrow which sage he wants to go to, the one that's from the east of him, that it's 4,000 amas away, and therefore he has to have an Erev to make another 2,000 amas that he can get there, we cannot rely on his brera, on his retroactive clarification of where it was that he wanted to go to say that it was for that Erev to the direction of that sage, to say that, oh, I know it acquired already Bein HaShemashah. But now I'm deciding that, you know which one it was that acquired Bein HaShemashah? It's the one to the west. Or, you know what, I'm going to choose the one to the east. That we cannot do. We cannot rely on Breira to have two Erevin, Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. You can't make two conditions for two different sages in two different directions and make two different Erevin, and that retroactively will be defined that which one was Chal, Bein HaShemashah, it was that one or that one. Ella, rather, what did Rabbi Yehuda say that one could do? When there's one sage, now, however, he doesn't know which direction the sage is coming from. So he could make the following condition. And he could say, if the Talmud Chacham is coming to the east, then let my Erev that's on the eastern side be kinder for me that my residence should be over there, that I could walk the 4,000 amas to get to the sage who's coming from the east. Lim Erev. I don't know if this Talmud Chacham Rabbi Pliny and Pliny, if he's coming from the west, if he's coming from the west, then the Ruvi Lamarv, then let the Erev work on the side that's on the west. Avakan or Lakan, but again, as we said before, but to make on either side for two different Torah sages, to say that wherever is the place that I'm going to want to go, that light, that doesn't work. As I said, because of Ein Breira, one cannot rely on the concept of Breira to retroactively clarify which Erev is the one that's halachically defined as the one that was Chal. And therefore, again, this is a clear source from the Braisa of Ayoy, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Breira. However, once we're bringing down this Braisa of Havinba, we asked about this, because we had assumed that the case of the one Talmud Chacham at Bein HaShemashes by twilight, the sage didn't come yet, and therefore he didn't know what to do, so he made one in Mizrach, one in Ma'ariv. And however, the sage was diagonally able to come to either side. He was in a position that he could have came to the east of the city or the west of the city, and on Shabbos he's going to come to one of them, but we don't know which one it is. And therefore we asked regarding that case, Maishno Lakan Lakan, what's the difference that Yehuda holds when there's two different Torah sages? The Loi, where there you can't say that, you know, I know one Torah sage is coming to the east of the town, one's coming to the west of the town. I don't know which one I want to hear. I'll make one for the east, one for the west, and tomorrow I'll decide, oh, you know, I'm going to move to that rabbi and let it be retroactively defined that my area of my residence was really Bein HaShemashes for that side or for that side. We said that doesn't work. The Ein Breira, because you cannot retroactively clarify what was supposed to already have been acquired on the previous nights, Bein HaShemashes by twilight. But the question is, but Lemizrach Ma'ariv Nami, to the east and the west also, when he's defining for one Torah sage where the Erev should be, that it should be Kaina, to whichever direction, there also you should say Ein Breira. You should also say that you cannot retroactively clarify, because we don't know by Bein HaShemashes which direction he was going to come to. If he's going to come to the east or to the west, you're also retroactively defining where it is that it should be, which we don't know at that point in time. So what's the difference if it's two Talmid Chacham or one Talmud Chacham? It's still the same concept of Breira. So why does he say by two Talmid Chacham it doesn't work, but by one he says it will work, either one Mizrach Ma'ariv? That Vomer Birchim, Birchim said that the truth is that the case of the one Talmud Chacham is not relying on the concept of Breira, because as we said, and that's what we're proving to clarify the halacha we brought on the previous Tav, that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Breira. And that's why, again, for all purposes regarding the case of Kinei Chayve, he says you don't make a separate box of Kinei Chayve, because if someone dies, everyone that's inside is going to be mixed with that Chata Shemesh Ba'aleh, which has to go to Yam HaMelech, and everything has to be thrown out, and therefore we don't want such a situation, so we never allow the Kinei Chayve, to which we asked, what do you mean, just take off four Zuz, which are the worth of that one Chatas, and throw in the Yam HaMelech? And that we're saying Ein Breira. So how do we know Ein Breira? Because he says clearly Ein Breira. Oh, so what's with the case of the one person, one Talmud Chacham, where you are choosing between East and West? But Rabbi Yechon says, Kishikfar Bo Chacham. The case really is talking about that at Bein HaShemashes, the Talmud Chacham had already come. He's already Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos, he's already where he was going to be. And therefore, the Erev could be Chal, and it could acquire that direction if it's East or West. And that was the Tanai that was really Chal from before Shabbos. He himself just didn't know which one it was. But Klap Yishmai Galia, like it's called. In other words, in truth, it already was acquired wherever that sage was. He just didn't know. He will find out. But the halachic application is not working retroactively. His own revelation to himself will work retroactively. And therefore, that's not really relying on the concept of Breira. And therefore, this is the source, I'll call upon them, that we find Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that Ein Breira is just that by one person, one Talmud Chacham, there will work, because it's not really working on the principles of Breira. So now the Gemara goes back and says as follows, and this is where it's going to come back to our Mishnah again. Now, Bahashta Damrin Rabbi Yehuda, but now that we have said according to Rabbi Yehuda, which we clarified the reason of Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Kinei Chayva, why we do not make a separate box, as this Machlikis is documented in this Machlikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, regarding what was the box of what were called kinim in the 13 shayfars, the 13 boxes. Chum hold that was kinei chayva, and the gezela olis were nedavim. You don't know. Kinim were, as was mentioned in the previous daf, that was the tyrim. That was the turtle doves, those are the older ones. Gezela olis are the younger ones, because you don't make a separate box of kinei chayva. And the reason was, we said, because of Ein Breira, because what happens is that if someone dies, you can't just pick out four zuz, because you cannot retroactively clarify that was his zuzim, and to say that's the one. Now, the question then becomes, ha ksiva islay, and that is, we had refuted the opinion of Rav Yosef. We said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that ksiva would work to differentiate which box is which. It's not like what Rabbi Yisrael said, Neha Tarubis, because you might mix up the boxes of the box of Chayv and the box of the Dava, and then you're going to bring in your Chattas as an Oila and an Oila and a Chattas, which invalidates it. Because we said that Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara had brought on the previous staff, a Braisa which clearly says, in the Mishnah in Shkom, that Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that we say Tiklan Chadatin, Tiklan Tikin, these are things written on them, and we know which box is which, and we're not going to come to confuse them. But then the question comes back, but Rabbi Yisrael had brought a raya that kesiva doesn't work, and that's why he wanted to support his svara before the Gemara refuted from the Mishnah Shkalim, because of Yemiki Purim Nami. But Yemiki Purim also, we said in our Mishnah, that Yehuda held there was only one ken, there was only one stand for the dam, and that you had to first take off one before you put on the other one. Now, Rabbi Yisrael proved from there, you see that kesiva doesn't work, and therefore we would confuse the boxes, and therefore we're not going to have a box of kinei chayva, because if writing would work, and therefore we should allow kinei chayva according to Rabbi Yehuda, but then that Rabbi Yehuda would have held that one would have two stands also, and write on it, this is for the palm, this is for the sar, and we wouldn't confuse it. So obviously, now that we're saying that kesiva does work, as we proved from the Mishnah Shkalim, so then the Gemara is asking, so why don't we make two stands according to Yehuda and write on them that this is for the par and this is for the sar, as we had refuted Rabbi Yisrael's opinion in his explanation of the reason for the kinei chayva, that it's not because writing doesn't help. Rather, as we explained before, it's based on the principle of someone might die and then ein breira. So therefore, we're back to the original question and understanding our Mishnah, why does it be to hold that there was only one stand and not two stands? So that the Gemara answers that the truthfully is, it's not a raya to Rabbi Yisrael. As we had refuted from the Mishnah Shkalim, kesiva generally does work, as we write on one tiklan chatin, tiklan atikin, and so forth. However, here it's different. B'shem cholshul the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara had explained on the previous daf, and that is the Kohen Gadol is doing everything that day, and he's weakened by all the work he's doing, lava daite, he wouldn't be able to focus on the writing. He's very weakened. He has to move on from one thing to the next. And therefore, although there is writing, and writing usually does work, on Yom Kippur it wouldn't work, and that's why we have to have one stand. Because if we have two stands, even if it says par and says sar, he still might confuse the two of them because he's so caught up and he's so weak and he's so busy. And therefore, you have to have one stand. And there, that's inevitable that he cannot mix them up because what he's holding, he can't put down yet to have the choice of, which one is which. Because there's only one stand, he'll have to first take that one and put down that one, and he'll always know where he's holding. And the Gemara proves this, because if you don't say that Yom Kippur is different, and it's because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, then b'lo k'siva nami, because then even without the writing, high nafish, the blood of the par, a bull has a lot more blood, v'hayzutr, whereas the blood of a he-goat is much less. And therefore, there's no confusing even in that alone. Forget about writing. How could he mix up the blood that's so much blood and the blood that's so little blood? And obviously the reason is because in his chalishis, in his weakened state, he still might confuse them. And therefore you see that Yom Kippur is different, and therefore although kesiva generally does work, in this case it wouldn't work. Now, if you're going to say it's not a raya, because loy mekabale kule, maybe it's not a raya. Because what are we saying, that you could prove that he's weakened because one has more blood and one has less blood? Maybe no. Maybe you could have that the bloods would be equal, because although a bull has much more blood than a he-goat, but maybe we're talking about that he would confuse in the case when he didn't receive all the blood by the bull, and therefore it had the same amount of blood as the he-goat. But Vam Rabbi Huda said clearly, Hashechit tzarech shekabel es kol da mishal par. The one who slaughters has to receive all the blood of the bull. Shanem, like it says a pasuk in the Yikra, that's kol dama par yishbech al yisad mizbech, that all the blood of the bull should be poured out to the foundation of the outer mizbech. And therefore you see that you have to receive all of it to pour all the blood out and by the yisad mizbech. And therefore, again, that reinforces what we're saying, that must be there's more blood of the bull and less blood of the sar. That alone should be a reason that we shouldn't confuse. So obviously Yom Kippur is different, and therefore that's the same thing with the writing, because although writing usually does work, it won't help on Yom Kippur. Now, b'chita, maybe you're going to say that, no, again, there's no raya. Maybe the bloods would be the same. How so? If you have to receive all the blood. Because maybe it will be told about a case where some of the blood of the bull spilled out, and then they're the same. But again, the Gemara says, hai chiver, the blood of the sar is white, in the sense that the blood is much lighter color. But the blood of the bull is redder, as the Gemara said in the previous paragraph of Memhei Amud Aleph, describing the different types of gold that there was. It was red gold that was compared to the blood of the bull, which is very red. And therefore, what are you going to say? How are you confusing the two? Obviously, what you have to say is because of the weakened state of the Kohen Gadol, he won't pay attention to the different colorings that there are, and that's why you have to have one stand. Here also, regarding the element of writing, we could say truthfully is not like Rabbi Yosef, as we had refuted him from Mishnah Shkolim, that writing usually does help, and it would help us differentiate. But then the question becomes, so why do you hold you have only one stand? And that we're proving from the coloring that the same thing is for the writing, because even though there's a clear difference, stark differences, however, it won't help in the weakened state, and therefore we have to do something that will be inevitable that it won't confuse it by having just one stand. Now the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this machloikis that we just mentioned regarding in our Mishnah if there's one stand or two different stands. So Hahu, this there was a shliach tzibur, the one that was going up to daven for the amid on Yom Kippurim, the nachas kamei the Rava that was going down in front of Rava, and he was saying the whole entire order of Yom Kippurim in the davening, like the way we say the whole avodah of the Kohen Gadol. So Amar, he said as follows, that Yatza v'hinichu al kein shenish v'hechal, that the Kohen Gadol, when he came out of the Kachi Kachim, he came and placed it on the second stand in the Hechel, and then notl dam hapar, so then he first took the blood of the bull, v'hinich dam asar, and then he put down the blood of the sar. So Amalei, so Rabbi told him, he said, he was basically saying, Maman of Shach, Chadik Rabbanan, you're saying one aspect, like the opinion of the Rabbanan, that there was a second stand, yet v'chadik Rabbi Yehuda, but in one element, you're saying like Rabbi Yehuda, that you said that first he took the dam of the par, and only then did he put down the dam of the sar. Obviously, there was no second stand to put it down, and that's what you had to first take and then put down. Generally, a person doesn't want to carry two things. You first put down, and then when you have empty hands, you take the other one. Rather, Rabbi told him, Ema, what you should say is, first he niach damasar. First he put down the damasar on the second stand, and then renotl damapar, then he took the blood of the bull, which is like the pen of the Rabbanan, that there were two stands, and therefore he was able to first put down the damasar, and then take the damapar and do what was inside the hecha. And that concludes that discussion with the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, which again, the Rabban holder was two stands, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said the problem was that there's going to be this confusion that he might confuse them, because although writing usually works and the bloods are different colors, it doesn't make a difference in his weakened state. He might confuse the two of them, and therefore he has to have only one, and therefore he's always going to be holding, and he'll know which one it is that he's holding. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that after he did the Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, both by the Par and then by the Sar, then he moves on to doing the Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata inside the Heichel, as the Mishnah tells us, of Ahiza Mimenu, that he sprayed from the bloods in the Heichel, in the sanctuary, Ala Pareichis, by the curtain, Keneged Aron Mibachutz, which was facing the Aron HaKodesh, from the outer part, meaning from the Heichel, towards the direction of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So what's the source for this halacha that one has to spray achas lamala sheva lamata in the heichel connected to pareches like he did bein abadim in the kircha kachem? So Tramban the Gemara brings a brisa, supposing him a yikra that says v'chein yase loyel moid, that the same thing he did for the dam of the par and the sar inside the kircha kachem, so too he does in the oil moid in the heichel. Now matam alema, what does that teach us? It teaches us that k'shem shemazel of nevel of nevel, just like he sprays the achas lamala sheva lamata inside the kircha kachem, kach mazel beheichel, so too he sprays in the heichel. As the Brisa explains, that malef nevelifnim achas lamalav sheva lamata midam apar, just like inside the holiest of holies, he sprays one above, meaning that, as we said, the trajectory is upward and then seven downward from the blood of the bull. Kach mazem hechel, so too he sprays that in the hechel. And ukashem shlefnei lifnim achas lamalav sheva lamata midam hasar, just like he does one above and seven below from the blood of the he goat. Kach mazem hechel, so too he sprays that in the hechel. Now the Brisa just continues explaining the end of the pasuk, which it says in the pasuk, "Hashechin itam b'teich tumasim," that Hashem dwells amongst the Jewish people even in their state of tumah, which means, "Afilu b'shashein tmeim shchinim mom," even when the Jewish people are defiled, still the shchina is amongst them. Now the Gemara brings a story related to that. That Amalei Hahum Mina l'Reb Chanina, there was a certain apikoris that said Reb Chanina, we continue on top of Nazayim and Aleph, "Hashta bari tmeim natan," says, "Now for sure, you Jewish people, you're impure, and therefore the Shechin is not going to rest among you if you're in a state of Tumah." It's similar like it says the Pasuk in Eicha, Tumasah Bishulaha, that her Tumah is on her hems, which means to say that like a woman that's a Nida, you could tell by her hems that she's a Nida, so too the Jewish people are obviously Tameh like a Nida, and therefore the Shechin is going to stay away from you. So Malaysa, Rechanin responded to him, Tochazi Maksibu, go and see about the Jewish people, what the Torah says about them. Hashechin Itam Metech Tumasam. That Hashem dwells amongst them in their impurity, that Fulbisman Shem Tumeim, even when they're in a state of Tumma. Like the Pasuk in Eicha says that they're Tumme like a Nida, Shechinah Shru B'Neim, still the Shechinah, divine presence, dwells amongst the Jewish people.